Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you will be able to learn to identify, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us this 4th of July weekend. It really is. Now, what's on our schedule for our 30-minute time together? Well, first, you will continue to discover what the Bible has to say about giving. Now, so far, we've talked about the tithe. Today, you are going to continue to discover how to give above and beyond the tithe. We're going to be talking about giving out of our abundance. Now, we'll also have some great giving questions from real-world listeners. You'll discover a new Facebook friend scam from the Better Business Bureau. And of course, we're going to spend yet another minute with Maxwell as Christian leadership author and speaker, teacher, trainer, and mentor and coach, John Maxwell, shares with you his thoughts on the word rest. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together with the Lord. So join me as we open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us again today. Please give us the ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to hear to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you recall, you and I started out our conversation about giving God's way with the tithe, and you discovered that according to the Bible, your tithe is truly, well, it is simply your minimum testimony that God is the owner of everything, and you, my friend, are his steward. You are his manager. And remember, we said that you don't tithe to get close to God. You tithe because you are already close to God. Okay, that was the tithe. And then during our last time together, you discovered that this tithe is just the minimum that God ever asks or expects from us. You see, God knew that there were always going to be those of us who want to do more than just the minimum to please him. So he shows us three ways that we can give above and beyond the tithe, above and beyond the minimum. And the first of these three is sharing out of obedience. Now, again, remember from last time, as a Christian, you predetermine that you are always going to do what the Lord instructs you to do, right? Therefore, after you tithe, then what happens is that you give out of obedience when the Lord convicts you to share with others who are in need, well, out of a conviction that they ought not to do without. Sharing out of obedience is summed up very nicely this way. Listen to this. What you can do, you should do in a world that couldn't care less. You need to be someone who couldn't care more. Okay? Okay, listen. You're committed to giving the tithe. But as a child of God, you know that you want to do more than just the minimum that God expects. So you follow your heart and your love for Jesus to share out of obedience. And you think, whoo-wee, all right, man, that's enough. I've done enough. I've done all I can do. Well, have you? I mean, have you really? Are you sure sharing out of obedience is where God wants you to stop? Now, maybe yes, but maybe no. And my guess is probably not. You see, God also wants to give you the ability to share from your abundance. You have the tithe, you have sharing out of obedience. Now, if you choose, now you can choose to move to the next level, which is sharing from your abundance. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but sometimes it seems harder for me to share when I have a lot than it is to share when I seem to have so little. You know, is that just me, or have you sometimes experienced that same thought? As a financial coach, I've often heard folks say something like, well, I'm only given a small amount of my income because I don't make a whole lot of money. But Bob, listen, if I ever do make a whole lot of money, man, am I going to give a whole lot away? I mean, that sounds good, right? But there's no way that is likely going to happen. Why? Well, because real life proves that it just does not work that way. Real life proves that the more you make, the harder it is for you to share. It's not going to be easier to share when you make more. It's going to be harder. Now, why would that be? Well, because the more you make, the more you spend. And the more you spend, the more pressure you put yourself under to make more so that you can in turn spend more and on and on and on. And all the while, at the same time, you are tending to share less and less and less. You see, my friend, the sharing habits you have right now, the sharing habits you have right this very minute, are the sharing habits that you are going to have for the rest of your life unless you choose to change those habits. Now, one great way to change your sharing habit is to first commit to the Lord that you are going to tithe. Now, we've already talked about that. And again, remember this, it is better not to make a vow than to make it and not keep it, right? So you first commit to tithe. And then you pray something like, well, Lord, I'm not only going to give the tithe, but I'm going to go to the next level and share out of my obedience as well. And not only that, Lord, I am ready to go a step further in faith and commit to share from my abundance, any abundance you just might bring my way. You see, the second sharing level beyond the basic tithe is sharing from your abundance. That's what it is. But how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you get to the point where you can share at this level? Well, I got to tell you, in order to share from your abundance, you're going to need a couple of things, all right? You are going to want to be able to share at this level. Well, then you have to have an abundance to share. That's the first thing that you have to have. To share from your abundance, you first must have an abundance to share. Does that make sense? But you're probably thinking, yeah, well, Bob, yeah, that makes good sense to me. I understand. But first things first, Bob, I've told you I don't have much. I don't even have enough. I mean, how in the world am I supposed to share from my abundance when I'm struggling to meet my own needs? Man, I have no wants and I have no desires to give up. Bob, man, if I had an abundance to share, I wouldn't even be listening to you on the radio even right this very minute. All right, so what does it take to be able to share from your abundance? Well, the answer is, first, it takes a surplus. You need to create a surplus. You see, your surplus will give you the abundance from which you can share. Now, am I speaking in circles here? No, I'm not. In order to share from your abundance, you must create a surplus. So how do you go about creating a surplus? Well, a couple of thoughts. For example, you might establish a surplus by adjusting your standard of living. More specifically, you can create a surplus by applying God's word into your heart and then onto paper in the form of a written spending plan, better known as a budget. All right, a budget. You see, you create a surplus by learning to live a more disciplined life. And as a matter of fact, my friend, listen, you create a surplus the exact same way you got out of debt, right? You create a surplus. Well, you've got to do one or two things. You've got to either increase your income or you got to cut your costs or you got to do both, right? Remember that? Basically, you must learn to continually learn how to spend less than you make. Now I know that you know that there are only three ways that you can live. Only three ways that you can live. Doesn't make any difference where you live, how you live, how much money it takes for you to live. There are only three ways in which you can live, okay? Your income can either be greater than, equal to, or less than your expenditures, right? Those are the only three ways you can live. Now, do you remember the data? Do you remember? You see, so much of the time, your expenses are greater than your income. So what do you do? Well, sure. You either cut your expenses or increase your income, or you do both until you get to the point where your income exactly matches your expenses, because that is your goal and that's where you want to end up, right? Well, no, it's not. No, right? This ought not to be your goal. And no, this ought not to be where you want to end up. Why not? Why, you ask? Well, if your income, think about it, it makes good sense. If your income equals your expenses, as soon as something that you have wears out or breaks, you're going to be forced back into debt to either repair it or replace it, correct? So no. The point where your income equals your expenses is not where you want to camp out. Now, it's a good midterm objective, but it's not where you want to stay. So where do you want to end up? Well, you want to end up where your expenses are consistently less than your income. That way, when something wears out or breaks, you can fix it or replace it without spending more than you make or go back into debt. So you see the difference between what you make and what you spend over time is going to be your surplus. And it's from your surplus that you can share out of your abundance. You see, you can share from your abundance only when you create a surplus, okay? All right, now, so in order to be able to share from your abundance, you must first create a surplus. That's the first thing. Now, what is the second thing that you're going to need? Well, remember that we said you're going to need two things, right? You first need an abundance to share. Now, the second thing is that you need a plan to share your abundance. You see, you need both. You're going to need an abundance to share and a plan to share your abundance. Now, if you're tracking with me, I'm telling you, you may be thinking like, hey, Bob, I already have a plan. I already live on a budget. I already live a disciplined lifestyle, but I still don't have an abundance to share. Well, if that's the case, then it could be that God has not given you an abundance to share because you do not have a plan to share the abundance, okay? Remember, God knows your heart. He knows that you might be tempted to spend any surplus on yourself or store it away in your barn, right? Remember the foolish farmer? You may have the tendency to do the same thing, to store it away. See, you get a surplus and you store it away in your barn. Or maybe in your case, maybe you store it away in your checking account or your savings account or maybe in your clothes or jewelry or investments or any of the rest. So to share from your abundance, you must have two things, right? Remember, you've got to have both an abundance to share and a plan to share an abundance. Now, I got to tell you, some folks prayerfully set into place a great plan to both create a surplus and to share from their abundance. Now, what is it? What is it that they do? What is one thing you can do? Well, one thing that you can do is to prayerfully figure out your maximum standard of living. Now, listen to me here. This is different than you probably have heard. What you need to do is to figure out your maximum standard of living, not a minimum standard, but a maximum standard of living. And therefore, when God brings something in that's above and beyond what you have set as to what you need for your maximum standard of living, well, then you can safely assume that God has given you that surplus so you can give it away. So what do? You give it away. You see, you first need to figure out how much you need to tithe and cover all of the other elements of your budget, right? Now that figure, that figure would likely be different for each and every one of us. I think you know that. But let's give an example here. Let's just say for a sake of example that you figure out that if you earned, let's say $50,000 a year, that would be more than enough to get out of debt, to stay out of debt, to cover your tithes, set aside something for giving out of obedience, and cover all of your expenses to include things like college for the kids and your retirement, and it's gonna pay your taxes. And even pay off the house and buy a new car every now and again, right? You get the picture? You can safely do all of that on an income of $50,000 a year. Now, as it stands right now, $50,000 is all you need to be able to live the way God has planned for you to live. Now I know what you're thinking. You know, for some of you, that figure might be $75,000 a year, might be $100,000. Or $150,000 a year, or it might be $30,000 or $20,000 a year. But for our example, let's just say we're going to assume $50,000 a year, okay? So that being the case, you would commit before the Lord that everything He chooses to bring in above $50,000, you're going to choose to give away. And you plan how to give it away. How? Well, you can preferably predetermine a list of where that money would go and in what percentages. For example, if God were to bring in an extra $10,000 from some source, I don't know, maybe you pick up $10,000 as an inheritance. But you already know that it's going to be above your maximum standard of living, so you know that you're going to give it away, right? But how would you allocate that $10,000? Well, you would simply allocate that $10,000 to everyone on your predetermined list based on a predetermined, prayed over set of percentages. That way, everyone on your list is going to get some part of that $10,000 surplus. And by the way, if you choose to move to this level of sharing, I'd strongly recommend that you include on your sharing list a category called whatever. Okay? Whatever. Your whatever category would include anything that God brings to your heart above and beyond what you planned for at the time. Okay? Your whatever category helps keep you sensitive to God. It helps you keep your spiritual eyes and ears open for something from God that He may not have already shown you. It helps create a great deal of flexibility as you learn to share out of your abundance. Man, I'm telling you, how much fun could you have if you choose to live like that? Oh my goodness, wow. What a blessing you could be to God and to so many others. So, just one way to share from your abundance is to preferably establish a maximum standard of living, not a minimum, but a maximum. And by the way, that's just one way. I'll just bet, if you ask God, He's going to show you some other ways as well. All right? Okay, now that's enough for this time. Let's wrap up our radio seminar time on God's giving God's way so far. Now, let's review just a little bit. Recall that sharing God's way first involves what? It involves the tithe as the basic, as the minimum that God asks for. But then there is sharing out of obedience, sharing with others out of a conviction that they ought to not go without. And today you discovered what sharing out of your abundance is all about and one great way to do it. Next time, finally, you're going to discover that God can make a way for us to share sacrificially. The fourth and highest level of sharing God's way is to share sacrificially. That's going to be next time. It's going to be great. Don't miss it. Now what we're going to do is to continue to build just a little bit on what the Lord is showing us about giving by taking a look at a couple real-world giving questions from real-world people, okay? Here's the first question. Bob, what is the difference between a pledge and a faith promise? Are they scriptural? Well, Johnny, thanks for the question, and I hope you're listening today because this is an important question. A pledge is a legally enforceable commitment to pay a fixed amount of money during a given period of time. In fact, some churches even resell their pledges at a discount to lending institutions so they can get the money right away. I got to believe, according to the Bible, I see the pledge as unscriptural. Why? Well, because an absolute commitment to pay without the funds in hand to pay it it constitutes what the Bible calls surety, which is an obligation to pay without a certain way to repay it. Now, on the other hand, a faith promise, that's a commitment you make to give the funds when the funds become available, if the funds become available. In other words, if God provides, you're going to give. And Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Therefore, I got to believe that a faith promise is scriptural. It will allow your church to plan based upon the income that the congregation members have promised if God provides it to them. Good question. Here's another one. Reverend Louder, should Christians take tax deductions for contributions to the Lord's work? Shelley, another great question. Thank you, Shelley, for sending it in. Let me say that giving to reduce your taxable income seems to me to be giving out of self-interest, okay? And I got to believe that's the wrong motive. And if you doubt your motives, here's what you can do. If you doubt your motive, I recommend that you donate the tax savings back to God as well. Now, this might seem to be a little legalistic, okay? But at least that way you can know for sure whether your motives are true. Now, there is nothing wrong with taking the income tax deduction as long as it is not giving on the wrong motive. But every Christian has to be honest and ask himself or herself, would I continue to give even if I didn't get a tax deduction? Now, those are a couple of great questions. What I challenge you to do as a radio listener today, hey, listen, if you're a little uncomfortable with either one of those responses, why not you prayerfully get into God's Word and see what He has to say to you? That's going to make them even more valuable questions. Okay, what's next? Oh, I know. Listen, it's time for a scam alert from the Better Business Bureau, okay? Let me ask you this. Have you ever daydreamed about receiving a sudden windfall profit, some money you hadn't expected? Well, I got to tell you, you're not alone. And scammers know that's how you feel as well. And in this new trick, scammers are using Facebook to con people into thinking they have thousands of dollars in unclaimed workers' compensation. And here's how the scam works. Some scammer is going to impersonate himself or herself as one of your Facebook friends and sends you a message. And they're going to say that they allegedly saw your name on a list of people who are owed workman's compensation. Lucky you, man. And they also provide the phone number of the person you can call to help you collect the money that you're due. Now you think the information came from a trusted friend, so you make the call. And the agent sounds professional, at least at first, right? They either confirm that you are owed money or they ask you to pay a small fee so that they can check. Then they may claim to have an official title. They're even going to give you an official title, something like Workman's Compensation Appeals Board Member or maybe Federal Treasury Reserve Official. However, when you inquire about claiming the money, things begin to get a little suspicious. That agent that you're speaking with asks you to pay a delivery or a case file fee up front. And they may even give you the choice of payout amounts. In other words, if you want $1,000, you have to pay $100. If you want $500, then you have to pay $50. Of course, the bigger the payout, the higher the fee is going to be. Now, in most cases, they're going to ask you to wire the fees to them or send money in prepaid debit cards, and now the flag is up, right? Because, of course, if you send the money, they will either take the money and disappear, or they're going to think up reasons to ask you for even more money. Now, one thing is going to be for sure, the workman's compensation money is a scam. It simply doesn't exist, and you're not going to get paid a dime, okay? Now, how can you spot these scams? Well, first of all, watch out for fake friends on Facebook. I mean, if you get an unusual request or a strange offer from a Facebook friend, well, contact that person directly to find out if they have been hacked. Do that before you take any action. And never pay money to get money. Just don't do it. If a legitimate business or government organization owes you money, you will never have to pay any fees in order to get it. And finally, as you already know, listen, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Okay, now let's invest just a little bit of time into what the Lord wants to give us through Christian author and writer and teacher and coach. Let's spend yet another minute with Maxwell, as John Maxwell shares with us his thoughts on the word rest.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. The word rest is given to me by my team member friend, Jared from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Jared, the word rest is something that I think most people look forward to. It's a word that we want to use in our life after we've maybe worked hard and we're tired, and it's good to maybe now have a little alone time and be able to kind of just maybe rest our mind, rest our body, just kind of take a deep breath and get comfortable with ourselves. Here's what I know. If everything worthwhile is uphill, then it takes a lot of effort to get to those desired dreams of our life. So uphill requires not only a lot of energy, but it requires those stops, those rest times, those rest periods where we say, okay, I got to catch my breath. I'm going to just give it a little time out here and kind of regroup myself, and then I'm going to keep going. The bigger the mountain that you have to achieve and climb, the more rest stops you need on the way. So I would encourage you, don't burn out, don't break down. Just take a little time, get your rest, regroup yourself, and then get back in the game. Because the game is a big one. It's a long one. You got to work hard, but you also have to rest often. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, another great word from John Maxwell. I don't know what it meant to you, but to me, it was like he was telling me to take a deep breath and get comfortable with myself, right? He's saying that your journey requires a pause, and he encourages us to get the rest we need and then get back on track. Listen, if life were easy, everyone would do it flawlessly. Good word. Thank you, John Maxwell. All right, then. That just about wraps up our time together today. Recall where we've been? Remember, we continue discovering what the Bible has to say about giving. So far, you have discovered that God expects us to tithe, but that tithing is just the first of four possible giving levels. You now know that it is possible to give above the tithe by giving out of your obedience and by giving out of your abundance. Now, during our next time together, you're going to discover what it can be like to be able to give sacrificially. It's going to be great. Next, we had some great giving questions from real world listeners. And then we took a look at a new Facebook friend scam. And of course, you just learned what John Maxwell had to say about the word rest. So that's where we've been, and that does wrap up our time together. But listen, before we close, I want to remind you, listen carefully here, if you are a small business owner or operator or maybe you head up a local service organization, and you would like to share on air with us and with our local community what you do and why, well, then you need to please give us a call at 678-386-2640. That is 678-386-2640, and we'll arrange to get you on air with us. Now, by the way, you can also send us an email through our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's Christian Financial Ministries, all spelled out, .org. Now let's close as we opened, and that is with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together again and for each of the days yet to come. And we also thank you for and ask your blessings for our local communities and for our nation on this 4th of July celebration weekend. We ask all of this to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day and a safe 4th of July weekend celebration. And we're going to see you back next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.